Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got the salty and sensible Sarah Meadows.
And Kevin Meadows. I don't have any...
You gotta be ready.
Kevin Sorry, Meadows.
Nope. Whoa, I just...
Sorry, that's actually Will's uncle's name.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Nice.
Kevin Delp.
We've got the mischievous Melissa.
Ooh, and the right Ryan.
And the delightful Dan.
And the jubilant Jonah. Ooh.
And the woeful Will.
Woeful.
Woeful.
Whoa.
Does that have anything to do with the ninja game we played tonight?
It does not. I did this last week because I just watched the brand new Psych episode that came out. He makes it look so easy on that show. I don't know how he's able to just whip out those funny nicknames.
Because he's got it scripted.
Well, we need to work on that for the next episode. Tonight we're going to be talking about four different, today, whatever time you're listening to this, four different Kickstarters. Four different campaigns coming to Kickstarter. We've got an episode sponsor. The title, the topic, the stuff we're going to be talking about today are our games. Go ahead, Kevin.
I'm going to say our theme for today's episode is most anticipated board games of 2021.
So we're going to be talking about some of the things that we're most looking forward to. And then if you hang around till after the episode, I'm sure we'll be talking about some Cobra Kai, maybe a little WandaVision. Anybody watch that this week?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Well, then hang around.
We all watched
episode
it.
One and two.
I was watching you guys talk about it silently after our Saturday morning board game show. I'm like, man, they're having so much fun and no one knows what they're saying.
It was great. It was like,
well,
a spoiler with no spoilers.
And it was special just for them.
Special episode.
There was no audio.
Yeah. Whoops. For a little bit. We figured it out halfway through, but
super funny.
You guys all headed to lunch. Me and Ryan just rambling on for who knows how long. If you didn't watch our Saturday morning board game show, we do those. We will be doing those the first Saturday of every month this coming year. So if you want to tune in, see some of the games that we're playing, get a quick rundown and maybe watch us play through a couple games. That's a fun one. We usually get some giveaways and definitely check us out. I think it's like 11 Eastern on the YouTubes first Saturday of the month. But what are you guys playing right now? What's some of the stuff that's hit your table this week?
Well, our kids got a chance to try out Zombie Teens.
Yeah.
I'll let Will talk a little bit about that because I didn't get to play with them, but they were addicted.
Yeah, they really were. It was actually surprisingly fun. I had a chance to play through like the first round a little while back, and I thought, oh, this would be a neat one to play with them. It's a cooperative game where you're trying to capture zombies and you're trying to capture ingredients to make a vaccine, probably. I don't know what you're making. To save you from the zombies. And each time you play the game, it's a legacy game. So you're unlocking envelopes and adding new things to the board, new stickers, new characters. And they were totally into it, like begging us, can we stay up later? We just need to play five more rounds.
So are you kids trying not to be zombies or zombies trying to become teens?
Teens trying not to become zombies.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a very small board. There's probably only like, I don't know, 16 spaces on it, and you are moving back and forth. You have to hand a box from your space to another space with another player in it. Later in the game, spoiler, you get a dog that helps you out, which is super fun because he can't carry crates, but he can attack zombies for you, and so you have the opportunity to move him plus you. And it just gets, it's a very fun game because you're adding like stickers that look like trophies when you win a round and brains if you survived the round. And so you're inside the book. There's also like comic book frames that you unlock stickers for as well. So it's kind of telling you the story as you go. Really, really neat. Really small box game. Lots of fun. Worth checking out for sure. I think it would be fun. Our kids are 8 to 12. Perfect. You could go a little bit higher. It's a pretty simple game, but it's been like a perfect age group type of game because they all understand the motions. Super fun to be able to keep progressing through the story.
Zombie teens, but not for teens?
Some of them are teens. 12, I guess not. Yep.
12
zombie kids.
Not a teenager.
Even though Zombie Kids is a different game.
Preteen accounts.
Zombie preteens.
There we go. Zombie preteen. Melissa and I are actually have been playing a game called Funfair, which actually is releasing this week on at stores. It's going straight to retail, and this is from Good Games Publishing. And if you're familiar with the game Unfair,
I was going to say it looks like that.
It does. Okay. It is pretty much the same game, more streamlined and less unfair.
More fun fair.
So basically, there's only positive interactions in the game. So all the events are going to be helpful, and there's no like destroying and closing other people's attractions and things like that.
So Melissa obviously liked it more. How much more? How different of an experience is it from Unfair?
The experience is pretty much the same because you're building attractions on your own tableau of cards. It's sort of like a set collection type game. But I would say the meanness is not there. Like Jonah would enjoy Unfair.
Won't.
You would
Unfair?
You would love Unfair.
Okay, it sounds...
Not Funfair.
It sounds unfair. It sounds like I'd like it.
You can basically like, I'm closing down your park.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Yeah, it's also streamlined. It's, I think, 6 rounds instead of 10, so the game's going to play quicker. And it's a little more gateway-ish, not quite as complex. Unfair.
Yeah, and 2 things. We have a how-to-play video from Melissa and a playthrough video this week if you'd like to sort of see it in action.
And if you really like Unfair, we have a promo card for Tantrum House our website.
It's a pretty cool one. Sarah, the kids, is Will in the promo?
Pixel high in the background.
But you can tell it's Will. The illustrator did a great job.
They captured my likeness well in the centimeter space that they gave me.
Cool.
So this week, Chantel and I were able to get Winter Kingdom to the table, which was on my 2020 list of games that I really wanted to play that I did not get to play. So we actually had some family come over, and we were able to get that to the table. And I really enjoyed it, actually. It was a little tough the first time that we played it because we had to reference the rule book just a significant amount of times to figure out what the cards – like the actions that were happening on the cards. So that was a little frustrating, and it kind of took a little longer to play through than it needed to, because the kind of the actions in the game are really simple. There's like a mandatory action that you do every time, and then there's additional actions basically only if you've purchased them. So in order to figure out what additional actions you've purchased and what they actually do, it was like referencing the rule book like crazy. But I enjoyed the first time we played it because I won by a lot of points, like 40.
So the iconography is a little confusing until you understand what it means.
Yeah. So then we actually played it again the next night, and it got way easier. So, I mean, still a little bit of referencing the rule book to figure out what the cards did, but some of them, like, you just knew based on the iconography now. And that one was just as fun, actually, even though I lost by 2, I think.
Who won? Did Chantel beat you?
Chantel did not beat me. Chantel was behind me by 2.
So you beat Chantel.
I did.
Sounds like it was a tight game, though.
It was a tight game the second time. The first time, I could tell, like, halfway through, they're not realizing how you get points, which is fine, because I am.
Because you need to surround those castles.
You do need to surround. So I lost because I didn't surround the castles in the second game, but the action that the other person had was an action to put one of their houses next to a castle. And so they got 5 of the 7 castles.
That's crazy.
And I was like, I killed them on like almost all the other stuff, but because they had 5 of the 7 castles, I ended up losing by 2. So I just needed one more castle and I would have won it. But it was fun, and I'm glad we got it to the table.
Cool. One of the highlights of this past week was a game that Dan introduced us to. And Will had that
Monopoly
winning card, which are we allowed to talk about that?
I have no idea which game we're talking about.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
It has to do with cell phones. And
I think we're allowed to talk about it.
Okay. 5G. Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun. There was a typo on one of the prototype cards that we had.
Did we
which
talk
was
about that
riot.
Last week? I can't remember.
I don't think the typo was actually super funny.
So this could go in the Kickstarter section.
To me, who was sitting beside the game just watching them play.
Every time that I fulfilled a certain territory or whatever and got it up to a certain point, I would get an extra 4 points.
It was like, very exciting.
I totally owned this. And then Will, he has a very similar thing, different territory, 29 points instead of 4. And I was like, wait, what? How is this balanced?
The thing that was funny was the points were like the money. And they started with like 15 money and were spending it during the round to get more. So like Will was like spending it like soon as he started the game. Like he's down to like 4 or 5 left. I'm right. like, wow, how do you get more money? He's like, the only way you get is by fulfilling this stuff. I was like, okay, that's crazy. You're going to need some more money.
Like, and I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to be okay. 28 seems reasonable.
Yeah, he's spending money like crazy. Then the round is, Ryan's like, oh, I get an extra 4. We're like, okay, great. Yeah. Man, you guys aren't really getting the
I was like, I'm Will so was far
like,
ahead.
It was like, 29. I did that too. I get 29. We were like, what?
Yeah, it was
and the crazy thing is I should have just let it go. I mean, I shouldn't have, but I let it go for the round. And I was like, maybe, you know, like maybe some other power Ryan's going to get is going to boost him up and it's going to be equal. And then we get around to the second time of the round. And I was like, you need to look at those other gold cards because I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to get 5 times what Ryan's getting paid.
Yeah, so thankfully for Ryan, they're all like 3, 4, 5 points.
Right.
Not 29. Yeah.
Whoops. That I was got the good lucky card.
So it was the was it a typo?
Yes. It had to be.
I mean, unless there's just one random card that's nah, 5 times.
1,000 times better than
you win card. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
That would be it.
That was a fun game, though. It was really interesting. Dan and I put together a preview video for it this past week, so that should be live on Kickstarter. You can check it out. 5G is a worker placement game. It's got a huge board with a million places you can go with your workers. You can set up antennas and spread your broadcast range, and then there's even a little bit of a dexterity flicking component in it where you try to get your cell power through a specific range. I don't know what that part of the game is, but you're launching your new network, and it gives you an additional bonus if you do it well. So it was a neat one. There's the artwork for it was really solid. The components were pretty neat. Check that one out.
Yeah, that's on Kickstarter right now.
And then one of the other highlights of this past week for me was for Christmas, I had gotten the BattleTech Beginner Box, and I went ahead and bought the full starter box or whatever. I think it's called A Game of Armored Combat. And this was just a real highlight for me because I love the BattleTech universe. I've been playing the video games off and on since I was a preteen. I used to run around behind my house pretending I was a mech. It was sad.
Wait, that's not just like, how you normally run?
Like walking like a robot or whatever. And then I've gone to Origins a few times.
Did you have sound effects?
Oh, sure.
I definitely had sound effects when I was a kid.
So every time we go to Origins, I make sure to go by the BattleTech tables and play their grinder, and that's a lot of fun. When I was single and desperate and lonely, I spent a lot of money on the Mech Warrior Dark Age and Age of Destruction collectible miniatures game after it had died, which is a very expensive hobby to get into.
After it had died.
And then they've had the new BattleTech video game, which really is a good simulation of the rules. So all of this has culminated, and now I've finally actually gotten the game that this is all based off of.
Were you disappointed?
No.
Oh, good.
I already knew what it was going to be like, but Now I actually have it, and I can rewatch the 80s cartoon with the bad CGI and enjoy my little miniatures. Katie has primed the first two from the beginner box, and she's I gave her some miniature paints for Christmas, so she's working on.
Seems very self like.
Well, I didn't know I was getting
Katie
it.
Katie has miniatures. An art degree. So
I didn't know I was getting it. Yeah. And she asked for the paints. So.
Now, is this the same mini that may have made an appearance in another video?
No, but that is a BattleTech mini.
Okay. Yeah.
Those are like large minis. Like the ones that are in the game are like 30 millimeters.
They're
that
Ender.
Thing's like, I don't know, 100 millimeters or something. It's big.
Cool. Keep an eye out for that in the Tantrum Con table flipping tournament.
Have you guys played the game Haiku?
Haiku?
Haiku.
Haiku. No.
Cluedo?
No.
I was introduced to that recently, and I played it again today. Basically, everybody around the table is looking at the same 4 clue words, but you're dealt a card that tells you one of those that's yours. But like we're seeing all 4. And then you have a bunch of random clue words in front of you, and they're different for each person. And you put together your clue based on your words. So, like, if it's Western, I might have, you know, 15 different words that I have to choose from to try and get you all to figure
Western.
Out what my word is.
Woo.
Yeah. It's a fun game. And half the fun is just the it's random, the words you get. So, like, today was actually super frustrating, but in a fun way, if that's possible. Because one of the other people at the table got Western. We both had Western, but we didn't know it. And she had, like, Sheriff
and horse were two of her clue words. I had like dirt. And I was like, what? It's just, it's one of those where you end up laughing at each other and how ridiculous some of your clues are. Sometimes they're really good. Sometimes you just have horrible choices. And it's interesting to see where people's minds go. So if you like word type games, that's a fun, pretty easy one to get into.
Melissa and I have been able to play the newest Uwe Rosenberg game that just came out, Hallertau, which is a not tile laying game. It is a resource management game. So more, think more like in his Agricola line than in his patchwork line.
Okay.
Yes. You are a chief of a small village in Bavaria and basically kind of farming. You are going to be taking actions on this main board, and you have a certain number of workers, and the action can be taken several times in a round, but the first time it's taken, it just costs one worker. The second time someone takes it, it's worth two. So you're basically deciding how many workers to put out onto this board to take certain actions. And you're planting crops and breeding sheep and changing resources into other things.
Milking sheep?
Yes.
Milking sheep.
You get milk from the number of sheep you have.
Okay.
Awesome.
So
sheep's milk. I'm sure it's a thing.
It's a thing.
It is. You've had plenty of cheese made from sheep's milk.
I think you mean goat's milk.
Nope. Sheep's milk is also.
Sheep cheese is a big thing.
Yep. I've had plenty of sheep cheese.
I'm sure you have.
I've never even heard of it.
You just didn't know because it isn't called that.
Goat milk, goat cheese on board. It's sheep cheese?
Yes.
Episode title.
I would say the weight is close to Agricola weight. It's definitely on the heavier side. It took us probably 2 to 3 hours to play. But
it was our first time, so we were learning it. There's a lot of cards in the game, and playing
those
cards.
That's how Melissa
won. Yes. Playing those cards can give you immediate benefits or benefits that you get every single round. Some of them are worth points. For some of them, you just have to have certain requirements. Like if you have 10 sheep, you can play this card and you'll get stuff. Others, you have to turn in your hops and your grain and your
sheep
clay.
Cheese.
Yeah. And that's
well, you've had definitely had Pecorino Romano.
These are sheep cheeses.
The definites here are very.
These are sheep cheeses?
Ricotta can be sheep's milk.
Okay.
Sheep. Milk or cheese?
Cheese. Well,
I mean,
it's made out of
milk. Cheese comes from milk. I mean,
milk?
Cheap milk.
Some feta is from sheep's milk.
Well, now I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
And chocolate milk comes from brown cows.
Got it.
We got it.
Remember that one.
So anyway, it was a very interesting game, having to think ahead of how many resources you were getting and how you were going to plant your crops, be able to get more resources, and then in another phase, you are turning them in to try to upgrade buildings so you can move this giant building across your board to unlock more workers.
Yeah.
So Kevin was really good at getting workers pretty early on.
I was. I was getting my worker more workers, which is usually helpful in a worker placement game to get more workers. I was also trying to move my house along. I was also able to unlock some cards benefits early in the game. And then I got a bunch of cards mid-game that it was harder for me to complete, so I really didn't go after those. But I think I probably should have gone after those cards because when you unlock cards, usually it's helping you unlock more cards. And I think that's how Melissa was able to
engine building action.
I did get a few lucky draws where I got cards that already
she
aligned
already fulfilled
with stuff I was doing. So
yeah,
yep,
sheep. Very nice,
sheep for the win.
I feel like my anticipated games of 2020 is just going to be all the games that Kevin and Melissa talk about. One other game that we did get to play tonight was called Night of the Ninja.
Yeah.
From Brotherwise?
Is that from Brotherwise Games?
That should be on the anticipated list.
Oh.
It's not available yet.
Well, I'm totally going to spoil it a little bit because if you think it sounds interesting, be sure to check it out during TantrumCon. We're going to be playing it during our live show next month in February.
Plays up to 11 players, but I don't think we're going to play that many.
We should get 10 more people to join us. It's a secret identity game where you are either on the Lotus or the Crane team.
Clan.
Clan. And you get some special cards that you get to play in number order, which is interesting. And I'm really bad at it, which kind of surprised me because I feel like I'm sometimes good at
social deduction. Yeah.
I also was really bad at it, but I still felt like I could have won if we had played to the 10 points that you're supposed to go, because there are these power cards, I guess, that you play sequentially, like everybody plays their spy cards and that everybody plays their mystic cards, etc. And those give you a chance and they force information out. And there's just table talking the whole time. So people are welcome to try to deceive you and reveal what they have.
And the other reason you could win is because you don't necessarily have to survive if your clan does, depending on the way the numbers come out and everything. So you could die, you could give away some good information and help your team, and then you still get points at the end of the round, which was very cool. I liked that. A lot of times in secret identity games, you die and it's over until the rest of the game is over. And this one, you're like still pulling for your team and trying to convince them of the things that you agree with so that everybody on your team has a chance to score points at the end of each round.
Yeah, and then there's some things that throw a twist in the works. There's a special card that if you have it and you're still alive, doesn't matter, your team wins.
Mastermind.
And then there's if you play with an odd number of people, there's a Ronin. And he just has to survive, and he automatically gets points. He doesn't have to worry about anybody else. So
yeah, and there was a huge deck, too, so there was a lot of very cool cards in there. One thing that really stood out to me was just the artwork for the game is very cool. It's like cut paper art where they like layered up multiple layers of paper to make the art for all the cards and everything in the game. It looks beautiful.
They have a whole blurb about the artist in their FAQ and tips pamphlet that they have. It was really interesting, so yeah, really definitely beautiful. Check it out.
We may or may not be giving out a few copies during TantrumCon, so you should definitely check it out.
TantrumCon.com.
I mean, I don't even like social deduction games, and I enjoyed it. So,
and I think Melissa, didn't you like win or something too? And she
I was tied with Kevin for the most points when we stopped playing. So,
yes, I don't even know what's going.
There's hope for everyone.
Yay, <Excellent. Hey>, team!
Good job. All right, well, let's go from here and give a shout out to our sponsor.
This episode, one of our sponsors is TGG Games, and they're bringing a game, Mob Big Apple, to Kickstarter. And this is designed by Stephen Finn, Dr. Finn, and it's for two players, and Dan will be talking about it some more in our Kickstarter conniption.
Well, we're going to jump into a house guest segment.
Hey!
Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Yes, John, tell us a little bit about who you are and about your company.
So I'm with Red Gin Productions. I am a designer, a co-designer on the Rune Lords board game that's coming out very soon here.
Awesome. So you're a co-designer. Tell us a little bit about the team that is part of Rune Lords.
So there is two designers involved, myself and Sean Engel. We've been working on the game for almost 4 years now. I've been on it just a little bit longer than that. And there is a really great couple of marketing minds that are involved that have a lot of extensive experience on other Kickstarter campaigns. So we brought in some tried and true talent there, and we're on to a relaunch here. We launched initially on Kickstarter early 2020 and didn't quite hit our goal, so we canceled and made some really important changes based off feedback, and we are here for the relaunch.
One of my questions. I thought this was a launch Kickstarter back about a year ago or so. So you decided to pull the plug and make some changes to the game. When was the Kickstarter last year?
It was in February. So we launched February 3rd. Okay. So right before the world kind of tanked.
Yeah.
So it's interesting timing then. It was just everything was just we were watching it all fall apart in real time. It was crazy.
Oh man, I'm sorry to hear that. Tell us a little bit about the game Rune Lords.
So the Rune Lords is a hex-based skirmish game that is driven by like a CCG type of meta, and it is a game for 1 to 4 players, and you basically deploy your recruits out onto the battlefield that are unique to the Rune Lord you've chosen. So it's faction in its orientation. And what makes the game super unique is after you've played through the various game modes, from adventure mode where you play solo or cooperative with friends, or you played PvP, just smashing each other's face in with your Rune Lords, We have an optional, not mandatory, deck building phase called the Sovereignty Stage, where you mix all of the Rune Lords that are in play into a single market, and you spend 12 rounds making really valuable and strategic purchases to build an army, and then put that deck that now has a whole bunch of really cool, unique combos onto the battlefield and see how that fares.
Cool. Game plays, what's the player count?
1 to 4 players.
And the average play time, does it depend on player count or what your setup is?
Yeah, so it's 60 to 90 minutes, but you should definitely add about 30 minutes per additional player after two players. So it can be up to a two-hour experience if you do a full four-player, all the battlefield maps out, and kind of like approach it like a Warhammer-type game. If you decide to do the deck builder, it's about 30 minutes. So you would add that before gameplay. Or you could do that, of course, earlier in the week or... yeah, you don't have to do it right before combat, right? You just need the cards.
Sure. Tell me a little bit about the previous campaign to this campaign. What are some of the things you all been working on this past months and year?
It was the one thing that Sean, the other designer, and myself said to each other right away was we are ready to completely rethink certain systems and the optics of the game, meaning making the game look less intimidating by removing some components. But any change that we made had to match the initial mission statement because we truly believed in the game that we were making. And we wanted to make sure that these changes didn't actually change what the experience was supposed to be. But there's always room for improving on how you implement a particular type of game. So we stuck to our mission statement and we cleaned things up from pacing to communication and iconography, all the way up to some of the more important aspects, which is first appearance and first look.
In the some of the pictures I've seen online, I see standees in some pictures and miniatures in the other. Is that what's the goal for the end product?
So we wanted to bridge a little bit of the gap of cost of entry into skirmish. We're certainly not pretending to be like the first skirmish game ever and trying to, you know, but we are trying to implement some forward progress within the space, the gaming space, to bring in some people that might not want to get involved simply because it's too expensive of a hobby. So what you're seeing there is that the base core game only comes with standees for all of the recruits and all of the Rune Lords, but we've priced the game down as a result. But we are offering from day one, not as a stretch goal, but as a day one add-on, you can just pay an additional amount and then get all of the Rune Lord standees themselves, or I'm sorry, all the Rune Lord miniatures themselves. And then as we unlock Rune Lords, we would just add those Rune Lords to that pack, that add-on pack. So you can get a cheaper entry if you don't care about minis, or you can do a normal priced skirmish game, actually a little less than the average, and get the minis. So you have a choice.
Cool. Well, that's really interesting. Any other changes or things that you said, oh man, we didn't do that well, but this next campaign we really want to do better at?
We there was one of the big ones systemically within our game was the approach to combat dice rolling system. And I'll just give this one example and you can kind of like imagine there was many more of these. so what we initially were using was the D20 system. And while the D20 system is tried and true since the 70s, right, you would have an attack modifier and then you would add it to your dice roll and then your opponent would add its defensive modifier and you do some bookkeeping and out the other end, you have a number you need to reach with the D20, right? And we kind of went into it thinking, well, you know, this is a system that's accepted. It so turned out that the pacing and the overall bookkeeping of the system wasn't great. And there was a lot of times where the D20 was just outright ruining game experiences for some players that aren't used to tabletop D&D and things like that. So what we did was we took the elements that we knew we loved, which was progressive combat, meaning if you were to have rolled a 15 to an 18, you would get this additional benefit. And if you rolled a critical, which could be an 18, 19, 20, depending, you would get a third effect, right? So it's this progressive combat system. And we just said, all right, well, if that's what we love about it, then let's just fix the math and the bookkeeping. And now all you do is you just roll a D6. And the D6 has the various effects on the faces. So it's the same math, essentially.
Cool.
And the wounds for the attackers right on the dice. So that's just one example of how we were able to take a problem where bookkeeping might have been too overextended and kind of fine-tuned it.
I like it. I like it. I love it when developers, designers, and publishers are able to streamline and make the game even better. That's cool. Tell me a little bit about the world, Runelords. This is based off of a fantasy novel series, right?
Yes. Actually, and a very important little bit of wording that we've grown to use is based in the world of, right?
Ah.
And the reason why that matters, or the reason why that matters, is because when we are basing it in the world, meaning we are utilizing the lore and the way Runelords interact with the world and what they are, and then we will be expanding our game into the characters of the actual book series as we move forward. When we introduce legacy play, when we introduce some of the larger game systems that we are looking forward to implementing, a lot of which are already designed, to be noted. But so we are basically taking some of the characters and the monsters and the regions that the author wasn't able to really expound upon too much in the books, and gave us kind of a little bit of freedom to explore those. So it's in the setting of the Runelords series.
Cool. Yeah, I'm not familiar with Runelords from the novels. I haven't read those, but it sounds like a cool series. I'm currently reading the Wheel of Time series. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that or not.
Oh yeah,
but
I'm on book 7 actually myself.
Here. Are you? I just finished book 7 last year, and I'm taking a little bit of a break.
Yeah, I think I took a break about 8 months ago. Yeah, so I'm in the same boat.
But I am looking forward to picking up book 8. I have actually book 8 and 9 in the queue, waiting to be read. So I'm looking forward to that. But I'm also just got a book called Red Rising, so I want to read that as well. So many books to read, but
I know it's infinite. It's infinite.
But these, I like the genre, the fantasy genre to read. So sounds cool. Awesome. Any other final thoughts about the Kickstarter campaign or the game that you'd like to share with our audience?
Yeah, we're just to let everybody know that we're running a very clean and ethical campaign, and that what I mean by that is that when we reach our funding goal, we will not be canceling because we weren't able to actually afford the things that we were promising. Everything is priced to where if we can reach our goal, then that's what we get, and we make a game. And also we're being very sensitive to how certain things are handled with, you know, FOMO and early birds and all that kind of stuff. We're being very, very specific on how we implement any of these types of things, because we know the community is not happy with some of them. So just know that we are listening to everyone's feedback, and we are trying to implement the best and most ethical campaign possible.
Great, great. And the levels, I guess you have the base level, and what other levels will you have?
Yeah, so we're going to unlock, and this is one of the key tricks to making sure we don't have to cancel if we fund, is the deluxe that comes with everything included, including the add-ons and the stretch goals and everything mm-hmm. else. We locked that deluxe version behind a stretch goal because we wanted to make sure we could afford the manufacturing of all of those nice bits. But the core set itself, and like I mentioned, the miniatures are going to be available from Jump Street. And we have a couple of other add-ons that will also be available. We have organizers planned. We have better components and materials planned, more battlefields, more adventures, things like that.
Wonderful. Well, John, thank you for coming on the show and sharing with us information about the Runelords board game. One more time, I don't know if we did the Kickstarter launch date. When does it launch?
January 19th, we go live, and it's a 30-day campaign.
January 19th until February, whatever, 19th, I guess, around then. I guess technically there's 31 days in January, so I guess it'd be around February 18th. But anyway, 30-day campaign. John, thanks again for being on the show, and best of luck on the campaign.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Bye.
We should jump into our Kickstarter conniption segment.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode, we'll be talking about 4 games coming to Kickstarter during the last half of January. Kevin, start us off.
The first game we're talking about today in Kickstarter Conniption is a game from Colossal Games launching this week called Reload. This is a battle royale game where you're fighting for fame. It's for 2 to 4 players, plays in about an hour. The Tantrum House team will be doing a video playthrough this week, so you can check that out. I believe Thursday night or Tuesday. I think it might be Tuesday night this week because they really wanted to go the day the Kickstarter launched on the 26th. Anyway, this game is, think Hunger Games the board game, because literally
interesting.
you are playing one of these characters, and you're running around this board that has different kinds of terrain, and parachutes are dropping with goodies, and you're getting weapons and shields and things like that, basically killing the other players in the game. You can put up forts and walls and all this kind of stuff, getting loot throughout the game.
So wait, is it Fortnite or is it it's a mix of both?
It's mixed. It's definitely Fortnite going on involved as well. You are trying to increase your fame track because as you complete these objectives, killing people and getting more loot and things like that, you're basically increasing your fame. If you can get to the end of your fame track first, you're going to win the game. Usually that doesn't happen because throughout the game, there's nuclear waste is coming and basically spreading throughout the board. So usually the game ends when the board is sort of filled up with the bad stuff. The tiles are all filled and you can't sort of basically it crowds like sort of Hunger Games style or Fortnite. Basically they start like crowding in. So people have to sort of
push you to the middle.
Yeah. Have to start interacting with each other. So that is Reload coming from Colossal Games this week. Melissa, what are you talking about?
So Bezier Games is bringing a collector's edition of Castles of Mad King Ludwig to Kickstarter. This should actually already be on Kickstarter. We are doing a playthrough video, which you can see on our channel, and an overview video. But Castles of Mad King Ludwig is one of my favorite games of all time. I just love playing it. And this collector's edition is bringing some awesome stuff to the game. It has new artwork for all of the rooms. So if you've ever seen the Polish version of the game, it has very pretty artwork. Well, this is kind of based on that, but slightly different to make it easier to tell the different types of rooms apart. It also has all of the expansions that have been made for the game. So the Secrets expansion and then a 10-card mini expansion. It was a Polish mini expansion. It has game trays storage. That is something...
That is huge.
Yes, that is something that the original game had no storage like solutions in the box. You had to buy third party if you wanted to get some. So it's very exciting to hear that there will be storage in this box. There's some new bonus cards, King's Favors. There are two new expansions that are going to be with this game. One of them are Royal Decrees. This is basically a card that you draft at the beginning of the game that's going to give you a special power or benefit. Some of them let you do things like spend less money for tiles, or you can ignore the penalty on the activity rooms, or they may be things that give you points at the end of the game based on certain situations or requirements. So that was kind of nice, the asymmetric powers. The other expansion brings a new type of room to the castle. Well, a new size. They are 325s. They're called towers. There's one of each type. So there's a kitchen, a utility, an outdoor, and so on and so forth. But when you finish it, you get to draw some new favor tokens, keep one, and hide it from everyone else by putting this pretty cool tower miniature on top of it. And basically, this is a goal that only you will score at the end of the game. You still have to compare your castle to everyone else, but no one knows that now you're going for the most green rooms or something like that. Kevin had a few. Did you have at least two of those at the end?
So the game we played earlier this week was there was a common goal, a public goal of the most green rooms, green outside rooms. And I was able to have a private goal of the most square footage of green rooms and another private goal of the most money at the end of the game. So they sort of, because green rooms, when you complete them, give you more money. So it's like, oh, these three are all like working together. I did focus a little too much on them because I had like 10 green rooms in my castle.
I still beat him by about 30 points.
She did.
Of course she did.
But I had like $40,000 at the end of the game. It was amazing. I could buy whatever I wanted because I completed like green room after green room. But it was fun. The Colossal version, Melissa?
Yes. Well, before I get to the Colossal version, I was going to say that they are also including components for a fifth player. If you want to play five players, you can now do that. One of the options in the campaign is to go for the Colossal Edition, and these tiles are massive. They're four times the size. In our playthrough, we're planning to use these. Hopefully they fit on the table.
Enough room.
But Yeah, just
I believe
huge.
Ryan said that you should try to play on a tennis court.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
I rent out a tennis court.
It's funny
because
I've seen these online. Like they're four times bigger. And then I think everyone in the house today. I'm like, have you seen the new? So I'm like, show them the regular size. And then I bring out the big size, and everyone's response is like, what?
I'm like, this looks like a player tableau
for one room.
Yeah.
So I could see those working really well at conventions once we have them again. These huge castles that you can build with the Colossal Edition. That is a separate pledge level. You don't have to get the huge tiles.
You have to get the huge tiles.
But anyway, you can see all of the details on their campaign page. This is Castles of Mad King Ludwig, the Collector's Edition. So, Dan, what are you looking at?
Coming January 25th, we have Mob Big Apple from TGG Games. It is a two-player, 30 to 45-minute type of game where you are... it has some area control. I would say that's probably the main mechanic, area control, and then some worker placement. You're controlling a mob family, and you're trying to control all the contraband coming into the city. So you've got six different neighborhoods that you can load your henchmen into cars and send them into that section of the city to fight over that contraband with the opposing family. It's got kind of an interesting mechanic where you roll a black and a white die that go up to three each. And you have a choice at that point. You know, if I roll a black one and a white three, I can choose to put three henchmen on the black one or one henchman on the white three. And so you kind of have some choice about who goes where, how many people you put there. But then you're also playing actions, and those actions might allow you to move your henchmen from one car to another, so different parts of the city. Or there are even things where you can do kind of a drive-by. So if your opponent has his henchmen still in cars waiting to drive into town, you drive by and wipe them out. So there's kind of this, you know, you want to load up your cars, you want to push them into the city, and hopefully they don't get wiped out. You're adding cubes. You're also influencing the district attorney. And if you do that well enough, then he gives you a bonus action that
he's kind of like a tug of war thing where you're pushing in one direction on your turn and hoping he stays over there on the other guy's side.
Yep. Yeah. So, and it's, there are a lot of interesting choices I found, and Will and I were playing, and the feeling through – you play three rounds, and the feeling through two rounds was just like, oh, man, this isn't a contest. Dan's crushing Will. even up towards the end, we were still like, well, it's pointless for Will to do this because Dan's just going to win. And then that didn't happen.
No, no. My mob powers got strong in the third round.
That's right. Yeah, because you send your henchmen in, and then there's a shootout where you eliminate equal amounts of henchmen, and whoever has the most, those henchmen stay in there, and you can kind of build those henchmen up. So as you play, you're trying to make more strategic decisions. Oh, and by the way, there are moles. So those moles are hidden numbers, and at the very end of the game, you flip them over, and you influence your battle at the very end. And I think that may have been part of what helped you win.
Yeah, it was really tight for sure. You could tell by looking at the game board, because you keep adding more and more influence to each of these rows throughout the game, and it was like, oh man, Dan is going to win this row, and this row. And so for the final round, my real goal was like, I just need to win one row, and I need to get as many of the loot boxes out of his rows and into that row, because one of the actions is being able to swap where the loot is at. And so I really actually didn't think I won. We did the final count, tallied them up, and I think I won by one cube, maybe.
You did. It was 9-8.
It was tight. But it did have a nice ramp up to it. And one of the nicest things about the game is just the component quality. Like, really cool wooden tokens, gold finishes on everything. Like, it just looks really nice out on the table.
Yeah, very, very shiny, very pretty, nice aesthetic. And even the art, there's not a ton of art in it, but... it looks good, and it really fits well. So that is Mob Big Apple from TGG Games, coming on January 25th. Sarah, what do you have for us?
Coming February 2nd is Cult of the Deep, and this is a hidden deduction game for 4 to 8 players. That is coming from BA Games, from designer Sam Stockton. And this game kind of reminds me a little bit on the base level of Bang the Dice game, you all have a hidden role and a character that gives you some special abilities and gives you your health for the game. And then you're going to be rolling dice and assigning them to other players. You don't know who's on which side at the beginning. There is a high priest and some cabalists and other roles in the game, depending on your player count. And you'll be trying to figure out who might be on your team and who you need to take out. So the dice have things like more health and some weapons on them so that you can attack other players. And then there's also some special symbols that match up with some ritual cards in the center of the table. And some of the rituals have things that affect all the players every round. So you might lose life if you don't get rid of them quick enough. And so you can use those other symbols to then try and take out these rituals in the center. Some of them have the high priest goes, their role is revealed, so you know who that player is. And some of them activate when that player's turn is over. And sometimes they get abilities or benefits from them, and sometimes everyone is hurt. So it's usually worth your while to try and get them out of the game. We will have a playthrough video that you can check out on our channel that will already be up by the time this goes live. If you want to see this in action, I think we'll have 5 players for that, so you can see what a little bit smaller player count will look like for this game. It does have rules for the 4 player count that are a little bit different setup, but you can play up to 8 as well. So that is Cult of the Deep from BA Games.
Well, I guess we should jump into our topic for the evening, most anticipated board games of 2021.
I feel like we need like a sound effect for that, like topic of the week.
Sound effect.
There it is.
There it is.
Nice. That'll work for now.
How do we want to do this? Everyone like talk about one each as we go and then keep going around till we just finish, or what do we want to do?
2 hours from now, once we've told you every game we anticipate. Yeah, I think I like the idea of going around a circle and then then we can get back to you and you can give us your 19 more, and then we'll be like, yeah, that was mine too.
No top 10 list is complete, right, Ryan, without more than 10?
That's right.
Got to get those honorable mentions in.
I just have 2 at this point.
That's
so
fine.
I'll be good.
Okay.
Sounds good. Way to control yourself.
Go for it, Will.
All right. So, sure, I'll start, I guess. One of the games that I didn't know was coming until just a few moments ago as I started to research this topic is Works of Wonder, Architects of the West Kingdom.
That's an expansion.
Am I not allowed to anticipate expansions?
You can.
What's the,
I guess.
It's fine.
I'm always in favor of anything coming from Shem and from Garfield. This guy looks beautiful on the front. I really didn't take the time to notice exactly everything that comes with it, but anything that's an expansion to a great game is going to be, hopefully, a good game. Yeah, Architects of the West Kingdom is a very solid game that we have enjoyed numerous times, and to know that the Works of Wonder is getting added is something that I am definitely looking forward to.
Yeah, so that actually makes me want to mention Hadrian's Wall, because I believe I will be doing a video about that one in the next few weeks or so. But that was not my anticipated, although now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it probably should have been. Game I am anticipating is The Crew Mission Deep Sea.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Is this also Kevin's?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that when it gets to me in just a second. Go.
Okay. So I thoroughly enjoyed The Crew, although it did not make it as high on my top 10 list because I think you do have to have the right group of people to play. So that is one downfall of the game if you had to come up with one. But looking forward to having additional missions and new things added to that game.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. So before we go any further, I do have a top 10 most anticipated board game list on YouTube that you can check out. I will not be going through all 10 in today's or more in today's episode, but I'll highlight a few that sort of like were a little bit different that may not be on other people's list. The Adventures of Robin Hood is coming from Cosmos. It's for 2 to 4 players and plays in about 60 minutes. And this is a game from the same designer as Legends of Andor. And I think Michael Menzel, you played Legends of Andor?
Yeah, I like Legends of Andor. It's great.
So in that system, I think there's like cards that sort of tell the story.
A little bit, yeah.
This game comes with a book that you sort of are going through and playing the game and basically revealing the story as you go. So it's all set in the Robin Hood universe. It looks really interesting. So it's for 2 to 4 players, like I said, and plays in about an hour. Melissa, what do you got?
One of the games that I think looks interesting is Inkling from Osprey Games. This is a word game that uses letter cards in creative ways to get other people to guess the secret words. It looks like you're going to be kind of laying cards on top of each other to try to make certain patterns or something like that. I love word games. The artist on this one is Quan Chai Moria, so it just looks very interesting, intriguing. So that is one of the games I'm looking forward to, Inkling from Osprey Games.
One of the games that I have actually played and I believe is coming out this next year. So it was one of the best experiences I've had at a con. Was playing an early version of this game, so I guess it's probably my most anticipated, is Wonderlands War. Did anybody else
that
get to play
that? That is coming
out,
yes. Yeah. That's coming out this year.
It was a lot of fun.
Highly rated this year.
Yeah, pretty cool. I don't know if you want me to go into more of a description, but it's the different characters of Alice in Wonderland, and they're at war with each other. So there's different regions, and you were trying to get your troops out to those regions and just control the map while doing other stuff. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, there's asymmetrical player power, so each character can do different things. And that goes with that character's personality from the books. So it makes it really interesting. And it's got a little bit of air control. It's got bag building, which is always fun. And very cool minis.
Yeah, I think I was the Jabberwock in the game that I was a part of. And so I was all about trying to upgrade my claws and jaws and stuff. It was a lot of fun. How about you, Dan?
I am looking forward to the 25th expansion to the Marvel Legendary deck building game. And I know it wasn't on any lists that we were looking at, but it is Annihilation. So it is going to be kind of the Annihilation wave coming from the negative zone to attack. And you're going to have the Fantastic Four come in somehow. And one thing that's really intriguing to me is anytime they mash up unlikely pairings. So you're going to have what sounds like Galactus and his heralds coming in to help fight Annihilation with the Fantastic Four. I don't know what that's going to look like, but it sounds interesting. It sounds different than just here's more stuff. And I am a huge Legendary fan, as you all know. So that is Legendary Annihilation, supposed to be coming sometime in January, but there seems to be some debate about that. Will.
You never know what's coming in 2021. One of the games that I got to see a couple different times last year that looked amazing, and I can't wait for it to actually get the opportunity to play it, is Return to Dark Tower. Did you guys all get to see that one?
Oh, that is actually on my list.
Is it?
I haven't played the original Dark Tower, but I think that is going to be one of the most anticipated games, Return to Dark Tower.
Yeah, so 1981, the original came out. It was like revolutionary at the time, this board game with a giant black plastic tower in the middle of it that would react differently based on how you played the game, or at least randomly, however you played the game. The new version, of course, is going to have like app technology and be able to like really have an AI, so it'll like change as you go throughout the game. The tower has lights and cool things that change and doors that open and stuff like that. The new version will also feature, I think, like a cooperative mode and a competitive mode, which will be interesting. I'll be curious to see what the box looks like that holds the giant tower in it. Hopefully it's amazing and massive. I think I was seeing prototype versions when I saw them last year, and it's like a foot and a half tall tower. It was a big thing, so very curious to see what that actually looks like in the finished published version, and hope to play it sometime soon. Who's up next?
I have another one to add to my list. And I've actually got to play this one. So I am mostly just talking about it because I'm excited for it to come to market. And that is Maglev Metro from Bezier Games. We have an early copy that we will be also creating content for very soon. And in this game, it is a pick up and deliver game where you are building routes to move your cars around and picking up passengers and certain kinds of passengers and such. And what makes the game interesting is that you have a clear acrylic tiles that you are building your map out with, and everybody is using the same central board to place these tiles on. And so you're just building your metro lines on top of one another. And so by the end, when you look down on the board, it looks like very much like a city map looking at their subway system. It's very cool looking when you're done. And love the gameplay on this one. The art's cool. So check out Maglev Metro coming from Bezier.
All I have to say for right now is Sagrada Legacy. Melissa?
Yes.
I've seen people speculating about whether you smash dice with hammers.
Or your glass gets broken.
My next anticipated game is Now or Never from Red Raven Games. Ryan Lockett, this is the third game in the Arzium storybook series. So that would be Above and Below and Near and Far. And the third one is Now or Never. And it can be played two ways, standard or story. And if you play in story mode, you're going to be reading from a storybook as you explore and make choices. And each character, there are four asymmetric characters. Each one has their own set of stories unique to them and the locations that you're going to be exploring. So I've really enjoyed Near and Far in the campaign and that with just the story developing. So looking forward to trying out Now or Never from Red Raven Games.
Now, this is the world that this documentary is about, right? I've heard wind of a documentary coming that features Ryan Lockett and walks through his creation of this whole thing. Haven't had an opportunity to see it yet, but I think we are going to try to do like a showing or something sometime. Very interested to see his process and learn a little bit more about the behind the scenes on that. It should be pretty cool.
So one of the games that we are going to be playing during TantrumCon Digital is Overboss.
Yeah.
That is highly anticipated.
That looks very cool.
Check it out. It's based in the Boss Monster world, and I'm not really sure how it all goes because I haven't played it yet. But it's a tile-laying game. You draft a tile, you place the tile down, and there's a corresponding token, and they have some sort of scoring mechanic involved. Some of the tiles, they score based on how many you have of them. Some of them are based on what's adjacent to them, that sort of thing. So looking forward to playing that, and I think a lot of people are.
I think that's from the same designer as Calico, right? So maybe some similar mechanics going on there with adjacent tiling.
I can't wait.
Yeah, there's definitely some probably things that we'll see that are similar, but definitely a new and different game.
Well, does it count if we've played the game?
I think you can still anticipate it.
I've played the game that I mentioned.
I am looking forward to Cubitos. That was a lot of fun. I'm kind of surprised it wasn't higher on Jonah's top 10 list. But I guess that was 2020. So
it was high. I put it like number 3.
Yeah.
That's high. It
needs to be your number 1.
it is a lot of fun. And I see it on the shelf over there, so I may have to try and get in another PlayStation with it. But yeah, just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think we'll be playing that during TantrumCon Digital as well.
Sweet.
What else can we be playing during TantrumCon Digital? I don't think we're playing this one. Oh, wait, is Jonah in there?
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say we're just not talking about Frosthaven that everyone will be about as soon as they get it. Which is going to happen in 2021, and everyone's going to be talking about it and playing it. So that's got to be anticipated. Have so many backers and so many people waiting on that. It's got to show up soon.
What do we think of the game Oath? Anybody excited about that one?
Yeah, it's a leader game. I'm interested in what that will bring to the table. My video only looked at published games, not Kickstarter games. So my list is very, very tiny.
Yeah. It's tight. Your list is tight.
My list is tight. Wow.
Oath looks interesting. Obviously, Root has been a huge success, and it's featuring similar art styles. I don't know a whole lot about the game, but if it's coming from those guys, I'm sure it's going to be a solid game with really polished mechanics. So I'll be keeping an eye out for Oath.
I'm looking forward to Creature Comforts. My kids absolutely loved that game. It's a great family weight worker placement game, and with some dice rolling, and they did a wonderful job of taking some really good board game mechanics from other popular games and making them fit well so kids can learn it quickly. But beware, the kids can beat adults. So I was very sad when we shipped the prototype on to the next media group, because my kids wanted to play this game all year long. So check out Creature Comforts.
The next game that I'll talk about, and maybe one of the last, because we'll see how long we can go, is The Initiative. This is from Unexpected Games, which is a division of Asmodee, a new division for 1 to 4 players. And The Initiative is a cooperative board game with a story element and code breaking. So sounds sort of really up my alley, because I like the trying to figure out sort of escape room type game. So I don't know what kind of codes are in it, but you are playing a role of teenagers in 1994 who have found a mysterious board game called The Key.
Jumanji.
Oh, right? Sorry. So you're unraveling the secrets of The Key, which is a game within a game.
Jumanji.
Another game that I'm looking forward to, this one's an expansion, and it is Treasure Island Captain Silver Revenge Island. So Treasure Island is a one versus many game where Long John Silver hides treasure somewhere and the other players are trying to figure out where it is, and you are being given clues, and there's a compass that you're using to draw things on the board, and it's just very unique and interesting type of deduction game. And a expansion is coming out from Matigo, and that is Treasure Island Captain Silver Revenge Island.
So one of the games we're gonna play during Tantrum Con.
Yeah,
Digital.
Do it.
I just keep doing this. Role Player Adventures. We have a prototype of it, but I believe it's actually coming out later this year, and we'll be checking that out. It is a lot of fun. You can actually use the characters that you roll up in Role Player and then throw them into this adventure that you
nice.
Adventure. So it's pretty cool, and it's like a complex adventure because there's some choose your own adventure type mm-hmm. things, choose your path, and it's not absolutely clear which path you should take, because, well, we won't spoil it for you, but it's a lot of fun, and I think you should check it out. We're going to be playing it a little bit during TantrumCon Digital, and I think a lot of people are anticipating it this year.
Yeah, one of the things I liked about it was that it had the open world feel of, you know, an RPG, but also had like a very direct focused mission end goal. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to playing that one. That should be a lot of fun. I'm sure Kevin probably has another 27 games we could talk about. And if you're interested in seeing some of the other games that we have listed as being anticipatory, Kevin's got a top 10 video. I think we also did a short group video where we talked about some of the things that we were looking forward to. So check out our YouTube channel if you want to learn a little bit more about some of the stuff that we're already, it's on our radar for 2021. I think we will call it a night right now, because I want to talk about cool TV shows and stuff. We'd be curious to know what you guys think. If you are interested in more board games and less TV, let us know. If you enjoy the reviews and after show stuff, we'd love to know that as well. We always love communicating with you guys, and hopefully look forward to playing some games with y'all in the future. I think that does it for now. See you guys.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.
All right, so this is the tough part. Do we talk about Cobra Kai or WandaVision or both?
Well, we said we promised that we would talk about Cobra Kai.
Okay.
So we can definitely do that. Should we wait on WandaVision because maybe we can start that next time?
Yeah.
In February?
We could. We definitely should. Why don't we get so far behind on it?
Is hot right now.
Right?
Yes. I think we should talk about both real quick.
Real quick. Okay. Real quick. Summary of... So I think we're on episode maybe 2 and 3 of season 3 of Cobra Kai.
Does anyone care if we talk about WandaVision first?
Are you going to leave?
I haven't seen any of Cobra Kai.
Why don't we do WandaVision for
WandaVision
Dan?
WandaVision it is!
And, Ryan, have you seen?
No, I haven't seen.
Oh, so let's do WandaVision first.
Okay, okay.
I just want to see the Karate Kid before I get into Cobra.
As you should. Okay. WandaVision. Okay,
right.
So.
Episodes 1 and 2.
Right. The only ones that have been published so far, as of the recording of this. A new one's coming out every Friday, I assume. And there's at least one season entirely done. And is it going to only be one season? What do we know?
The way the first two started, they better do something or else it's not going to be one season.
I definitely admit that I didn't know a lot about going into it. I hadn't really seen any commercials. I had heard of it. Sarah and I are like literally laying in bed ready to go to sleep, and it pops up on the TV, and I was like, what is this? Okay, let's watch it.
I think I had done more research into it, and I have several theories. One of my theories is that it
just
will
jumping right in. Theory. It,
it is,
Do
yeah.
It.
It will only be one season because it's basically what they would have put into a movie time wise, like the length of all the episodes equals about a movie, but they released it episodically because this is the way they're telling the story.
And that's not without precedent, because I think they've said they're doing exactly that with Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It's a cinematic experience over the course of a show, and that's going to be it.
And it's a one season thing.
From what I understand, yeah.
They've got such a wide universe, they can obviously afford to just give us little snippets. And
here's
then...
my question. Why did they start this TV shows? Because they're doing a lot in this year, the next year, or whatever. Why did they start with the two people we don't care about?
Because it
does
leads
anyone
up
anyone like Wanda and Vision? Does anyone like those are the people? I
she's
one
no,
of them so
but
much.
It
she's one of the most powerful
mutants in the X-Men.
Vision
oh, wait, sorry,
is too.
Universe.
And what did they do in all these movies? Nothing. No one likes them. And that's
drop the ball.
With. Why would they start with those?
Maybe they got to start off slow and work their way up.
Well, they started slow. Right?
I definitely got into the episode. I was sitting there and I was like, "Is this? This is only going to be like the first 10 minutes. They're definitely like something crazy is going to happen. Here it comes. Wait for it." Episode's over. That was weird.
Yeah, the end credits
and then
were
the
like,
credits, and you're like, what?
Is this? Are they now transitioning into more of the show?
Right.
Or what's happening here? Because the end credits are very different
and very long. I actually watched the whole credits, assuming there
agreed.
Might be like an after credit.
Agreed
scene.
Too. I watched the whole thing, just looking
come
at
on.
My screen, looking at all these names. Something's gonna happen.
That's when you just take your finger or whatever you're doing to control. And you kind of fast forward looking at
oh,
that
it sounds
tile.
Easy, Dan.
Yeah.
Well, it is if you're on your phone. It's like, yeah, nothing's there. Okay.
And then I got into episode 2 and I thought, okay, well, if this is going to be it, let me sit down and actually try to enjoy this. Because I did like I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched and a lot
Dick
of those.
Van Dyke.
Yeah, a lot of those shows. And so I was like, okay, let me just laugh along to this cheesy, great humor.
The laugh tracks.
I did love the actors and actresses that they pulled in. I don't even know what her name is, but the lady from
the comedy?
That
comedian?
70s show or whatever. The
oh,
mom.
The mom. The
hilarious. Oh, yes. No, not the neighbor, the boss's wife.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This
she was killing
oh,
me.
Oh, oh,
she's good.
But the neighbor was good too.
Yeah, she was. Great chemistry. It was fun. I enjoyed just watching it, a black and white flick. It was fun.
I was talking to Melissa. I was like, so we watched two shows all in black and white, except for the very end of the second one.
Right, right.
But like, I was watching it, and then when the color came, I was like, wow, my eyes or like my senses were just used to the black and white for those
you
two episodes.
You started plugging in your own color to
just... maybe, or it was just like, I wasn't even thinking about the color.
You didn't miss the color?
Right.
We could all just watch black and white.
And then the color came, I'm like, wow.
So stark.
It was pretty cool.
What?
There were so many things I did not like. What is happening with the gum? And then he goes crazy.
The gum?
It
he's
gummed,
a machine.
Gum in the works?
Gummed, yeah, gummed up the works.
Did you miss that whole thing?
I mean, I got
he's
that,
a,
but
he's a robot.
What?
He's a robot.
I got it.
That was one of the indications to me that maybe Vision isn't actually there, and this is all in Wanda's head.
Why?
Because that's never not how that actually works. But in her view of like...
Because like they went to knowledge. The cartoon of like his inside yeah. of his body?
I mean, in her, like this is a show from the 60s or whatever.
Right.
That's how it works.
They obviously didn't stay true to their powers because I don't think she can just like poof, make a ring appear on your finger.
She's magic, man. She can probably do whatever.
She has like chaos magic.
Right. She alters like the realities of things happening or whatever. So, go ahead.
Sorry, something else. It might not be anything, but I just thought it was an interesting Easter egg, if you will. But there's the commercial for the toaster by mm-hmm. Stark Industries. And if you listen, there's kind of that beep, beep, beep sound.
What?
And then
I didn't hear any beeps.
Then you have the watch, which is by Strucker, related to Hydra. And there are two very painful events in Wanda's life. The bomb that almost killed her and her brother, that was by Stark Industries. And then they were tested and experimented on by Strucker.
Right.
So it furthers Ryan's thought of, is this all in her head?
Because the bomb made people toast, and the watch is like counting down to something.
Well, I think her and her brother were the only two who made it through that.
This is more fun after I heard Ryan's theory. Because when I watched it, I was like, what is happening in this show?
Right. I mean, I definitely think that there's like, you know, endless possibilities, but I think it's either like, I mean, he's got the mind stone, right? That's his thing. Is she like trapped in the Mind Stone? Is he like, did somebody use the Mind Stone against her? What's happening?
Is this in her mind while the Thanos snapped and it's in between while she's dust? Like, there are so many possibilities of what's going on.
When did this happen? It's a great question. I think we will find
out. The 50s and 60s so far.
Well, and then there's the outside voice that's kind of trying to communicate with her and reach out.
Who's doing this to you?
Right, yeah.
What about
the fact that she has control over it, too? So if they're doing it to her and she's like, nuh-uh, rewind, like, what's that about?
What about when the boss was choking and the lady the wife just kept saying, stop it. Like it was like, what is happening?
Yes, for 30 minutes in the first episode and 30 minutes in the second
episode. What is happening?
It felt like an NPC that broke. Like,
right?
Just got stuck in a loop. Like,
right.
I don't know what to do beyond this.
Right. This has never happened in the actual 50s show. Right. There was no drama this intense.
Instead of CPR, he just like, I'm just going to reach through the throat and grab the meat. So.
Yeah, interesting. I liked Ryan's other theory on what is up with the baby thing. Like,
Well, I'm watching the first episode, I was telling Katie, this is like one of the bigger couples in the Marvel Universe from what I understand. Because I played this game and I read a bunch of backstory and there's a character called Wonder Man and he's apparently supposed to be their kid. And I was like, I wonder if they're like trying to set that up somehow. Yeah. And in the first one, there's like some hints like, oh, when are you going to have your first baby?
Right.
And in the second one, they're doing a fundraiser and over the people
it's
are like
for the children.
For the children. And so I was like, oh, yeah, they're really hitting this child thing. And then at the end, she looks pregnant.
Oh, she definitely looked pregnant. There was no like looking. She definitely pregnant.
Oh, no.
She
went from like nothing to like a bump. Was wearing her costume, like, she went from the beginning of the episode when she first put the costume on for the show to the end of the performance she's already showing.
Ooh, really? Didn't notice that. Time to rewind.
Yeah.
Wait. She was showing while she was in the magician's office?
Yes.
Apparently.
You look at the very last couple minutes, she's starting to show.
Of the whole the show?
No, of the performance.
Okay.
I'll have to go back and see that.
When you slide those two beds together, I mean, that's what happens.
Quickly.
It was very interesting. I don't know, like, did she recognize the bee guy? What's up with that? Like, nothing. It was weird, but why did she want to rewind it so fast? Is that a reference?
Weird, and I was thinking to myself, what is happening?
Like, is it Twilight Zone weird? Or
very
just, like,
close, yeah.
Well, I read an article that somebody speculates that the bee suit is similar to the AIM suit in the comics. So it's... She's imagining it in a different way, but that's what's happening.
Is it like Wasp?
But I like Ryan's idea about toast, so maybe we can get him a good analogy with bees. Come on, Ryan.
The birds and the bees? What?
There was also like...
No! I want to be pregnant.
Like helicopter or plane or something?
Oh, in the first episode with the
little red helicopter. That was color for...
Did we all see that? What was that movie where it was like the movie's all black and white?
Schindler's
and then,
List?
No.
No, that wasn't it. That's true. It's all black
the
and white.
The one where it gets color
red coat.
In the middle, like she.
Wizard of Oz?
No. Yes, come on. It's like somethingville. Smallville, Somerville.
Oh,
Happyville.
Yeah.
Pleasantville.
Yeah. Haven't seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Similar concept where like stuff starts getting in color.
I might
are you
be
wondering
really
the whole movie what is happening in this movie? No?
What is
but are you going to watch episode 3, Jonah?
I am, because at some point they have to explain what's happening. So I'm just hoping when they explain what's happening, it's good enough that I'll keep watching. But if it's something goofy, I really might stop, because who likes Wanda and Vision? I'm really wondering. I'll wait for the other characters that we like.
We know that Marvel does a good job of telling stories and endearing you to their character, so I have a feeling is the opportunity. Like they're like, maybe there's not enough love for Wanda and Vision. Let's pull people in and tell them the whole story. If you've seen the trailer premiere, what's the commercial? Did you watch that, Jonah?
I did not. You told me not to.
Oh, okay.
You
good,
can
good
watch
decision.
It now, okay. But it kind of gives not. It away. If you haven't watched, well, if you've already haven't watched, so this is too late. You've already everything's been spoiled. But the trailer needs to be watched last. It explains too much.
It doesn't really explain anything. It just gives you a preview. Like, it shows them in their 80s version in the backyard of the Brady Bunch yard and the 90s version. You know, like, obviously it looks like they're, like, progressing by decade.
And people start freaking out.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. That means next Friday we're not getting
that's right. 70s show is going to be the same mom.
So one interesting thing I also noticed is I think this show has to be playing on what she is perceiving as reality and what she's trying to either keep herself from or mentally remember. I don't know all of that, but there's very specific camera work where it looks very much like the traditional Dick Van Dyke Show camera angles. And then, like, at the dinner party when he starts choking, it's changed. And it is now different camera angles that you do not find in those types of shows. Like, reality is falling apart in her mind. I don't know what – I think similar things happened in the 60s episode as well, where it was shot very much like that period show. And then things fell apart, and it's back to what we would normally see in TV.
Yeah, anytime you get some of those tension points, like the dinner scene, not just the shot angle, but the contrast.
Right.
It's darker. Something feels a little more disturbing. And they do the same thing kind of in the B scene. Little bit when
they kind of break character just a little bit, too.
Yeah, when they're wigging out over the voice on the radio and the lady breaks the glass, you just... I don't know how to pinpoint it, but you start feeling like, what's happening?
Yeah, they achieved some really interesting.
Yes, you do start
Jonah's
feeling
shaking
like
his head for those who can't hear what's going on.
Yes, that is how you feel. What Excellent. Is happening?
Well, cool. That was a great rundown. I think we all have some theories. It'd be interesting to see what actually happens in the next couple weeks. Should we divert? Hi-ya!
I'm out.
Some Karate Kid? All right. Thanks for coming.
Real quick, I looked up Wonder Man because I was like, this seems like I have this wrong, and I do. He is connected to Wanda and Vision, but in like
not
the
kid.
Weirdest way possible. He's not their kid. So
you say we don't want to know?
It's confusing. Anyway, I'll just leave it at that.
All right, so we're going to talk about Cobra Kai. Ryan's out. Jonah's staying around?
Dan's gone.
I'm here.
Okay.
I watched Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai Season 3, Episode 3. Johnny decides the best way to help.
Episode 2.
Some money.
Yeah, we missed one.
We're only on 2.
We did 1.
I was
now we're
to,
going right to
That's because
two.
You watched 2 last time when you weren't supposed to watch it.
Ah, jeez.
We're probably already on 4, aren't you?
Or more.
We'll watch the whole episode, the whole season.
We haven't seen the whole
show.
Thing. I told him don't go on, but he couldn't wait.
It's too. It's hard, and then it's even harder to remember what was actually
right,
from.
Right. So this is where we see a little bit of Kreese's backstory.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
To me, that was
the
one
diner.
Of the. Yeah, the diner was definitely interesting to see his sort of origin.
Because you think it's the other guy sitting
I
at
did
the
love
booth.
That little twist.
You do think that
this is Kreese? What a punk! He's always been a punk. Oh wait. He was the nice guy.
I didn't think that at all. But what I did wonder is he already has his powers.
his powers. I think you might be confused with the Marvel Universe.
He already has his karate powers.
He does have power. He did beat the guy up for sure, which was unexpected. I thought he was going to get pummeled. It was interesting. I liked it. The only thing, I have to admit, I'm not a huge fan of shows like Joker, whatever the new one was, where it was like they humanize the villain so that you like feel sorry for him. I still feel confident I won't feel sorry for Grease, so I'm at least good with that.
He's too much of a jerk.
Too much, yeah. Well, I guess we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, just wait till the end of episode 5. What a jerk.
So in real time, is the beating up of the rental manager, was that in episode 3? Did you get to that?
Is
that?
Yeah, I don't know which episode it is, but that definitely happened. And I really liked how the end of episode 1 or 2 was where he's talking to Hawk and he tells him, you know, I'm going to need a new champion. And you assume it's Hawk. But then very next episode, he goes and talks to whatever name is, who's way tougher anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, Hawk is just his little plaything.
And I think we heard a little bit more about her story, too, in this one. So I thought that was a little interesting to see that she has a sick mom and she's sort of down and out and she's sort of working to help pay for her family. So,
and then Kreese does actually end up helping her out, which then you're like, man, maybe he's not a super terrible guy. I don't know.
He's a terrible guy. Mm-hmm.
They tried to build that vulnerability
right?
So that way you could switch sides if you wanted to between Miyagi-Do and Cobra Kai, but not me. I'll be on Miyagi-Do's side for life.
This is interesting. Good. I'm glad to hear that because I'm already on like the Johnny side.
Her name's Tori.
That's right, Tori, okay. Of Cobra Kai.
Johnny side of Cobra Kai?
Yeah, I'm on that side.
I got to go. I love Karate Kid so much.
Do you think he's going to switch? Do you think Johnny ends up going to
that would be a
Miyagi-Do?
I don't know. That would be a twist. I think maybe, possibly. I'm just trying to draw it all in now with the Robbie and trying to draw it all. He might switch.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting.
That would be interesting.
They've played it back and forth so many times. I don't know how close you can get to like making up and being friends, and then 11 seconds later.
Yep. You do a good job at that one. That's good. So the end of episode 1, Miguel wakes up from his coma.
Yep.
Episode 2, I think they basically like start touching his feet in episode 2, and they're like,
I can't feel anything.
Right. Like, and then you go to the mom outside the window. We know that the doctor's saying he'll never walk again.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
So what's going to happen? I mean, we know
eventually,
we know it's going to happen, but how many episodes is Miguel going to be in the hospital bed?
Yeah. It's so hard for me to say whenever I watch the episode.
It's going
to
be like 4.
4.
And then he's going to be in a wheelchair.
Okay.
And then, I don't know, he's going to get it back. This season.
All of it?
At the end of the season, he takes a first step.
No. He'll take his
first. And he does the crane move because he can only move one leg.
In the East Valley. What is it?
High. East Valley.
All Valley.
Yeah.
Does the crane move in the All Valley from his wheelchair?
That'd be awesome.
From his wheelchair. Right.
I think it's interesting that I think episode 3 or whatever is the one where, because of all the fighting at the school, his entire company is going down the drain.
Oh, right.
That's rough. Woo.
He's going to get bought out, basically, or try to get bought out?
Yeah, so the guy makes him an offer, and he basically says, your publicity and press are so bad that you might as well just take my offer now because there's not going to be anything left. And then the next episode. I can't watch any more episodes until you guys are caught up.
I still just don't understand in a community like that, that something like that would make sales go that poorly.
I think it had more to do with the school meeting where everyone in the entire town booed
but
him
not,
down.
But not everyone has high school aged kids. Not everybody buying cars has high school aged kids. It's a little bit unbelievable.
Like a show.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes in shows where you're like, that wouldn't happen in real life.
We're 3 episodes in. Does Miyagi still have a son? Is he in this season?
Miyagi.
Whatever his name is.
I haven't seen him yet.
Daniel's son? Did he just
like say?
He had a kid last time. I haven't seen his boy at all.
Oh, Daniel's
in the season.
Son.
Yeah. Daniel, does he still have a son? Is it one of those shows where it's like, he wasn't interesting. He's gone.
He's gone.
We'll just pretend he never had a kid.
Well, at the end of the season 1 or season 2, we heard about Allie Mills.
Right.
And she really hasn't come up. And I was going to say the hospital scene where Miguel is, you see this blonde nurse or doctor, like sort of her back turned.
Right. Don't see
and
her
all
face.
The, and like to me, the camera angles are so like, yeah, it's going to be Allie, right? It's going to be Allie. It's going to be Allie. She turns around and is like, some that's doctor. Lady. Yeah. I was like, oh, that was good camera work right there.
Do you think they were intentionally?
Oh, yes.
Things? Yes.
Oh,
yes. Yes.
Because we're all expecting, like, when are we going to see
it? When is she going to show up?
I will spoil it in the future episodes. It's amazing how many people they got from the original
Does
movies
Allie
to
come
be
back?
In
these. I'll watch the rest gotten, of the season
haven't gotten that far
tonight.
Yet. But everybody else. I'm sure she will be because in episode 4 or 5, like, they're pulling actors in and I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot this person even existed. They're still around and they're in the movie.
They
That's
were such
amazing.
A minor part of the movie and yet here they are.
I mean, not minor, but yeah, forgettable, I guess. I don't know what that.
So just so we're all clear, for the next episode, are we going to episode 5?
I think we finish it out.
Just finish it, and then we're just going to switch to another show? All right,
yeah,
fine.
There's too many good things coming out.
I'm just going to go binge watch it tonight, and then I'll be ready for next week.
Supposedly, Netflix is doing a new movie every week.
A new movie every week.
A new movie.
Of what? Just any movie in the world?
Well, no, they're...
Netflix will have a new movie every week of 2021.
That's brilliant.
52 of them.
They're coming out every Friday, so we can just have movie night every Friday night.
I don't think all the movies are going to be amazing, but if there's a good one, we can talk about it.
Will they do like all 3 Karate Kids in a row?
Or no, I think they're creating movies.
Oh, they're
original Netflix movies.
I'm less interested.
But there's some, like, I think The Rock's in one. I think they got some big name actors in
it. I'm sure Stranger Things will be coming out with some more stuff.
Well, I don't know if till 2022 on that one.
It's really? Late this year.
Yeah.
It's late.
That stinks.
They haven't even finished filming.
Is it going to be that amazing?
I don't know.
I'm sure it will be.
Fingers crossed. They've done some good stuff.
Netflix original content is actually really good. I've been entertained by several movies and shows, so it'll be interesting to see what those movies are.
So years ago, this is a fun story. So years ago when I had a roommate in an apartment in town, we started watching Netflix original content. And this is back when Netflix didn't have a lot of original content and we could watch them all.
Oh.
We like watched all 5 of them that they had that year. Remember? It's got to be like 2014, 2015. We watched all 5 of them. And the best Netflix original content was this show called, Marco Polo?
That does sound familiar.
Marco Polo.
Is it Marco Polo? Look it up for me. Okay. I think it's Marco Polo. There's only 2 seasons and that was the best one by far. It was so good. And then they was costing like $1 billion to do a season or something, so they canceled it.
Yes, but it is Marco Polo.
Marco Polo is the best one. Okay. But then they all of a sudden they went from like 5 Netflix originals to 1 million, and so you can't do it anymore. But we literally watched them all and we were like, this is so good. Netflix is really doing something out here. I remember that. Like we were sitting on our couch going, oh, Netflix
is really
be here to stay.
I watched a few things in the early days of Netflix originals, and I don't think anything cemented in my mind as this is a new contender competing against Hollywood and TV until Stranger Things' first season came out. And I was like, this is much better than other stuff I've seen. So good job, Netflix, for bringing content we want to see.
I guess we should wrap it up and say goodbye unless Will's going to say some final thoughts there. He's like fervently searching on his phone.
I was looking for other Netflix originals from 2015. There actually are a good number of originals that I didn't even know were Netflix originals, like House of Cards.
Yep, we watched that.
Orange is the New Black or whatever that one is. Shows that I just assumed came from some other place, but who knew? All right, tune in next week. We will wrap up all of Cobra Kai in one single episode. You have a week to get caught up. 2 weeks. 2 weeks to get caught up. Go check out tantrumcon.com because we haven't talked about that enough yet. Hopefully we'll see you guys in February.
Boo.